Hello and welcome to part three, the final part, the final frontier of my AMA. So we are going to dive right in and just try to make it through these last batch of questions without dragging this out to be a full hour like part two was. Okay, now we have questions from Cute Kangaroo, who has the cutest name. I love that name. How did you become a ramble whore, or were you born as one? You know, Cute Kangaroo, the ramble whore was created recently when I did a Pillow Talk audio questionnaire and realized that I ramble a lot, and I think I just called myself a ramble whore. So the name itself, I just became one very recently. But how did I become someone who rambles? I probably wasn't born as one. I'm going to blame it on reading a shit ton of books in my childhood. Apparently, my parents claimed that I taught myself to read. Apparently, by 2 years old, I was reading my bedtime stories to my mom. She has no idea how I learned how to read. Like, I just started reading them to her. That's what she claims. And I was just a voracious reader. Like, I would hide in my room with a flashlight and read. I would read in the dark. I would read in the bathroom. I would read anywhere. And I would read like full novels at a time. By the time I was 8 years old, I was reading young adult novels that were meant for like 13, 14 year olds. There's a book series which most people will know, called The Babysitter's Club. For my 8th birthday, my mom bought me the entire set of what was currently out at that time of Babysitter's Club books. It had to be at least 50 books. My mom was a teacher, and so she had a discount for a book sale called the Scholastic Book Sale. So she was able to buy like the full set it was still an expensive gift, but she expected it to last me a really, really long time. But I finished one book a day. So within 2 months, I was done, all of them. And she was not happy. She was not happy, to say the least. She's like, that was supposed to last you all year. And I'm like, I'm sorry, they're really good. I just read them all. So that, I think, helped with the ramble whoreness, like just storytelling, loving that kind of stuff. And then also, honestly, my dad is just, he rambles nonstop. But I also, like, I think anyone who knows him would agree that he's somewhat of a captivating speaker. So he will tell like really long stories, but they're always relatively interesting. So I think rambling must be in my genes, and I am modeling it after him. I don't know. So yeah. What's the most fun you had while recording? Oh, I like this question. Oh my God, I've done so many audios that were really fun to record. You know, I'm going to hit pause quickly and then go to my submitted page and take a quick little gander to see which ones I've done. Okay, so I took a look at my submissions page. Now, first off, definitely I think the most fun that I've had while recording is always when I do like a collab questionnaire, or, when I was interviewed by Missy for her podcast. That was so much fun. We just we laughed for so long, and I think we talked beforehand for like an hour and a half. So that was so much fun. And collab questionnaires are always super, super, super fun as well. Love doing those. I've only done a couple, but definitely hope to do more of those in the future. In terms of my sexy audios, the most fun that I've had while recording is probably reading the Princess Cum Slut story. That story is just so ridiculous and hilarious. And well, there's two of them. Both of them are hilarious and ridiculous and also really sexy. So I definitely had a fun time with that. I didn't have a plan going into it. I sort of ended up reading it like a bedtime story to start, and then it quickly deviated from that, definitely. And the other one that was super fun to record was the other princess one. What's it called? Badass Princess versus the writer. So that was the Voca writer script, where I basically like fight back against the script writer. And I mean, there were unicorns and sparkly penises and chocolate cum. Oh man. Yeah. That script was awesome as well. So, I've done so many that have been super fun. Oh, I really liked the recent one where I got to play like a super villain, which was the final humiliation of the Great Maligna, because I got to do like an over the top super villain voice. That was super fun for me. So there have been lots of great ones. I always have fun while recording. Sorry, I'm kind of pausing while I go back to the questions. Not pausing, like I'm dragging this out because I'm looking for my list of AMN questions. Found them. Okay, so final question from Cute Kangaroo is, how would you sell GWA to a random person on the street? Oh my God. Honestly, that would be really, really hard. I even had a hard time explaining it to my sister. So no one in my life actually knows about GWA. And my sister doesn't know that I posted GWA, but she accidentally now knows what GWA is. What happened was I replied to an email from a GWA friend who I talked to outside of GWA. I hit reply on their email, and it just so happened that my sister had sent me an email at the same time that I was hitting reply. So I accidentally replied to her email instead of my GWA friend's email. And I didn't realize until I hit send, and there was the little sent symbol next to her email, but not next to my friend's email. And I immediately went to my sent folder and went, oh shit. Now, luckily, what I was replying with was just like a link to a backstage post. And I think I said something like, oh my gosh, look at that. This is exactly what we were talking about, or something like that. I honestly can't even remember what the post was about, but it was something that me and this friend had already been talking about doing. So I basically sent my sister by accident a GWA backstage link, and she wrote me back saying, what is this? And, I just ignored her for a week. Seriously, I didn't speak to my sister for a full week. And I just kind of hoped that she would forget and that it would go away. But we had my mom's birthday coming up, and so I had to speak to her to, actually celebrate my mom's birthday, which was, we did a dinner at my sister's house. So at the end of the dinner, she kind of cornered me where there was no one else around. We were in a room just by ourselves. And she was like, so you never answered me. What was that email about? And I just played dumb, like, what are you talking about? I don't know what you mean. And she was like, that link to that website, what is that? Is it like a place where people record themselves having sex? That's what she said to me. And so I kind of laughed. I pretended to laugh, basically. I was like, no, don't be silly. I was like, no, people don't record themselves actually having sex. They just record themselves like simulating sex, you know? It's kind of like, it's erotic audio. And she had no idea what I meant. So I basically said, well, basically there's like scripts. So there's different, you know, just like acting, there's different like erotic situations that people record themselves acting out. And, it's meant to be something to listen to, sort of like porn, but like, it's just audio. Like you don't have the visual. And she was like, that's really weird. And then I said, well, I don't use that part of the site. The link that I sent was actually for Backstage, which is just a place where people post like themselves singing Disney songs, and they do questionnaires, and everyone is really nice and really friendly, and like I've met some cool people through there. And she was like, oh, okay. And I said, yeah, I don't post like to the other thing. I just posted that. And, like, not even much. Like, I just discovered it. And she's like, oh, okay, well, who are you sending it to? And I'm like, okay, I don't even want to go into this. So, anyways, she does know a little bit. And that's how I explained GWA to someone who wasn't a stranger. But, yeah, so if she ever figures out what my username is, she will realize that I do post to both. And God, I hope that doesn't happen. But anyways, explaining it to a random person on the street honestly would be really hard. All you could say is it's erotic audio. Like, I don't really know how else you could explain simulating sex. That just sounds weird. Anyways, thank you for those great questions, cute kangaroo. Our next batch of questions are from Mystery Stroker. And his first question, we kind of answered in AMA number one, but I'll just answer it anyways, just in case people didn't listen to it. So he says, big tits feature in many of your audios. What is your bra size? Okay, so I'm a D cup. There you go. Next question is, what does your recording studio look like? So I do not have a recording studio at all, that's for sure. What I do when I record is I lie on my bed on my tummy with like on my elbow, like with my elbows propped up. And I do this in the middle of the bed, and I usually have my iPad basically propped up. It has its own stand in front of me. And then I have a pillow on the left and a pillow on the right. They kind of act as sound buffers. And then the mattress also helps with buffering any sound, like reducing noise. And then I just use a recording app that's on my iPad, and I read the script right from my iPad as well. That is my recording studio. I'm really hoping to upgrade soon, because if I want to do like professional quality voice acting type of stuff, then I can't be recording on my iPad. It's fairly good quality as it is now, which I'm really happy about, but it's not professional quality. Like, there's noise that I can't have if I'm going to be recording professionally. So I'm saving up to get a proper microphone, and we'll see. Then I might have a recording studio. No, I'll never have a studio. I would still record on my bed, but just like with a proper microphone probably. So next question is, you are an accomplished succubus, vampire, and princess, among other roles. Thank you. I'll put that on my resume. What other fantastical scenario would you like to record? Oh goodness. So fantasy stuff. I think I might have mentioned this in one of the other AMA questions, but I definitely do want to record something where I'm a witch, a sexy witch, don't worry. I already am in the works with Rubberful of creating a script like that. What I mean is, like, we've talked about the idea and we already have an idea for this particular witch, and I don't know if I should say it. Yeah, why not? It's going to be a witch who, she's a de-virginizing witch. she needs virgin cum kind of thing. Yeah. So that's the idea. We talked about it honestly like 2 months ago. And since then I've thrown like 7 other ideas at him. So it's not super high up there on the idea priority list, but in terms of fantasy stuff, that's for sure what's next up. If you have any other ideas for me, please, please feel free to leave them in the comments or PM me. I love doing fantasy stuff, definitely. So next question is, you must spend 2 hours gagged and chained up in a public place, naked, with your knees up and legs spread. Only adults are around, and a magic spell keeps anyone from seriously harming you. Where and when do you choose to do this, and why? Wow. I get to choose where and when. Okay, the where is going to be easy. I would do this in like a hedonism, is that how I say that? Hedonism resort. So there are like all-inclusive resorts. I think there's one in Jamaica, for example. I think they're even called like hedonism or something like that. God, it's been years since I've looked into this, but I had looked into it before, just like as a, like, fantasy type thing, getting off thinking about this kind of thing. And these are places where you can essentially have sex, like, anywhere. It's kind of, I think what I read is that it's not promoted, like, they don't, they're not, like, promoting, like, let's have orgies by the pool all the time, but it's also not frowned upon to have sex basically anywhere on the resort, where there could be people walking by at any time. So that would for sure be the place. And the when, I would say nighttime, because people get sexy at nighttime. Like, for me, it doesn't matter what time of the day I'm doing stuff, but, like, if it was the nighttime, like, yeah, people would be even more in the mood. That's what I'm thinking. I don't know if you wanted, like, a specific date, like August 14th, 2025 or something like that. No, I don't have a specific date in mind, but yeah. Oh, that is I think that's a good answer to that very difficult question. I don't know if you saw that answer coming. I didn't see that answer coming. When I was first started reading your question, I was like, oh shit, what the heck am I going to answer to this? Oh my gosh. But I'm very pleased with that answer. Also, let's make it happen. I don't want to be gagged for 2 hours though. Maybe like 20 minutes. Don't you want to hear me moan? Come on. Yeah. Right? Yeah. So thank you for those great questions, Mystery Stroker. And now we have questions from Holy Fictional. So his first question is, what is a book that you think everyone should read? Oh, that's tough. That is very, very tough. One of my favorite books is called, okay, so it's by an author whose name is Nicole Kraus. You know what? I'll have to look up the spelling. It's either C-R-A-U-S-S or it's C-R-A-U-S-S-E. I'm not totally sure. But it's called The History of Love. It's not a history novel in any way. It's actually a fiction novel. And I just love it. I'm definitely overdue to read it again, but, it is something that I think, yeah, it's one of those books that everyone I think would love if they gave it a chance. God, I don't even know how to describe it. Honestly, like if you find it online, just read the first, like the opening, and I think you'll know whether you'll like it or not. There are two, it's told from the point of view of two different characters, two very different characters. One is a teenage girl named Alma, and the other is a cranky old man. He's not cranky. He's pretty funny, actually. But yeah, it's told from both of their points of views, and they obviously intersect at some point in the novel. But it's really, like, it's really a wonderful book. It's funny and touching, like, heartwarming, and just gives you a lot to think about in life, and that is what a good book should do, I think, in my opinion. So yeah, The History of Love by Nicole Kraus, whose last name I'm not sure how to spell. What's your drink of choice? That one's pretty easy, because in the past, I'd say year, I've finally found my drink of choice. So that is an amaretto sour. I love amaretto sours. They are so good. They are so, so good. I really want one. Yum. Okay, next question is, are you a good cook? God, what just happened? I think I started to say cock. Are you a good cock? No, I'm not a good cock. I don't have a cock. Are you a good cook? And what is your favorite thing to cook? Lord, I should edit that out. My God. My mouth has, I have no control over my mouth. Am I a good cook? Okay. You know, I think it depends. Sorry, I'm laughing. I shouldn't laugh. I think it depends on your definition of the word cook. I would say, yes, I'm a good cook. However, I'm not a natural cook. So in my opinion, a natural cook is someone who, they don't necessarily need a recipe. They can like think of how they would like to prepare something and then just go about doing it and then like doing a taste. Sometimes they, you know, they do a taste test. Oh, let's add a little bit of this spice or a little bit of that, stuff like that. I don't know how to cook that way. I just don't have it in me. What I can do is follow a recipe really well. And the end result is always what it's supposed to be. Thank goodness. So in my opinion, I can cook in that regard because it's important to be able to follow a recipe and have it turn out the way that the recipe intends. That is not something to, you know, it's not too shabby. It's not something to look past. So I can cook in that regard. Do I cook that often? Not really. What I'm probably better at is making meals that are that are comprised of a variety of things that are already somewhat prepared. So, you know, taking something that's frozen and then taking something that needs to be microwaved and taking something that needs to be like just like boiled or cooked in a pan or something like that or put in the oven. Like those are all things I can do very well. That's kind of how I cook. My favorite thing to cook, my favorite thing to cook is actually more so baking. I used to love to bake, and I mean, I still do love to bake, but now I kind of try to keep it to just like special occasions because it's really dangerous having baked goods in the house. Like if I make a pan of brownies, like it's not going to last very long. I do the thing where like some people hate this and some people will know exactly what I'm talking about because they're going to go, yeah, I do that too. But I think it's more of a girl thing. I do the thing where like, let's say there's a pan of brownies in the house. I'll take a knife and like just cut off a tiny sliver and like eat the tiny sliver. And then I'll cut off another tiny sliver and then another tiny sliver. And then like, I'll go away for a few minutes and then I'll come back and I'll cut off another tiny sliver. And I've had people say to me, why don't you just take a piece and eat that piece and then like you're good, right? But I don't know. I just enjoy it more this way. Obviously, I only do this in my own home. You can't do that at somebody else's place. But yeah, my favorite thing to bake is actually it's a pecan rum cake. So it is so fucking easy to make, honestly. You just take like regular cake mix. I use a butter pecan cake mix. Usually it's a Betty Crocker or a Duncan Hines one. It doesn't really matter. And you need to get some good rum. I actually use like an Amber Bacardi. I want to say it's 1857 rum. I'd have to double check. I might have made up that number, but that might be it. Anyways, you're using quite a bit of rum in it. I think it's like at least half a cup. It might even be more. Yeah, I think it's more because you use some on the, like you drizzle it on top afterwards. But in the actual recipe, I think it's at least half a cup. And obviously there's other ingredients. I can't remember, but it's like so easy to make. And after you bake it, you actually poke holes in it, like a little, you know, with a toothpick. And then like you have a glaze that you make with some more rum and, you know, some sugar and stuff like that. And you just pour it over so it seeps into the holes. And then like you leave it for as long as you can resist it. If you leave it for like a full week, it's supposedly amazing, but it's never made it that long. Whenever I've made it, I usually try to make it like at least a day in advance. Cause if I'm bringing it somewhere, and you can sprinkle pecans on top as well. Not everybody likes pecans though. So sometimes I do it and sometimes I don't, but I like it like that. But yeah, it's such a moist cake. I know people hate the word moist, but when it comes to cake, that is a good thing. Okay. That's a really good thing. And I'm not even a rum drinker. That's the crazy thing. But this cake is like, oh God, it's like orgasm in a cake form. Oh my God, it's so good. So yeah, that's my favorite thing to bake, cook, whatever. And then you asked, what supernatural creature would you most like to be? And I answered that previously with, I think, Mr. Tinkle's question, which would be a witch, you know, like, or a wizard, whatever you want to call it. I'd like to have those kind of superpowers for sure. And then, who's your favorite GWA poster who has done a sequel to one of your audios and is asking this question right now?
Hmm, gee, I don't know. I wonder who it could be. Obviously, it's you. It's wholly fictional because you are the only one who's ever done a sequel to one of my audios, and that was the Gamerpuss audio. So if anyone's listened to the Gamerpuss audio and enjoyed it and thought, I wonder what it would be like to meet Gamerpuss and fuck her, Holy Fictional actually did a sequel to it where he was the fan who I talk about in the first Gamerpuss, I don't want to spoil anything. Anyways, he meets me in the elevator at the gaming convention, and then, no, not in the elevator, in front of the hotel room. Yes, that's what it was, I think. No, it was in the elevator. Shit, I don't remember. Anyways, it was awesome, and thank you so much for doing that. That was so good. So thank you for those questions, Holy Fictional. That was great. Now, I'm only at 22 minutes, so I've decided I'm going to tackle some of Hiriam's questions. Hiriam asked 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. Hiriam asked 19 questions. So I can't answer all of them in this AMA. If I read a question and I'm just like, oh God, that's too hard, I'm just going to skip it. But let's see how many of these I can get through. Okay, the first one is, if you had unlimited control over a whole species of sea creatures, what would it be? Oh, that's easy. That would be dolphins. Dolphins are definitely my favorite animal. They are animal, mammal, you know, sea creature, whatever. They are amazing. I know that Hiriam would answer shark to this because he's obsessed with sharks, but no, definitely dolphins. I think I could just make a lot of people smile by just, you know, if I had control over them, just randomly giving dolphin shows, you know, they pop up and I can't do a dolphin noise. I was about to try. No, I can't. And do their jumping in the air, through the air, and they're, you know, everyone loves dolphins, right? So yeah, dolphins. I'm going to skip the meal question. Yeah. Then we have Comedy Central has greenlit a show about your life that can only have Redditors, you know, play the various characters. Who do you cast as whom? Come on. That's an impossible question because I don't know what any of these people look like. Can't answer that. I don't know how to answer that. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm going to be lame and skip that one. Yeah. Next question was, 2,000 years from now, a personal possession of yours is excavated and put into a museum. What would you want the possession to be, and what would you want historians to extrapolate about your place in history from it, keeping in mind that any conclusions they come to may be completely factual? For example, she was once the ruler of the kingdom Kanada. Oh, geez. I really don't have an answer to this question. I'm so sorry. Another cop-out. I promise I'll answer the next one. Okay, the next... That's an amazing question, by the way. Just, I don't have any of my own possessions that I think would warrant being in a museum of history. Like, I know I could come up with something wacky, but I don't have anything. I'm sorry. The next question was, twist on an existing question. You're stranded on an island with three dream celebrities or people of your choice, but impending death by starvation is near. Whom do you eat first? Jesus. Honestly, I would volunteer to be the one who's being eaten. I can't imagine ever resorting to cannibalism, and I would just tell them to kill me quick, like in as painlessly as possible, and roast away. Gross. So gross. Yeah. So you probably didn't see that answer coming, but yeah, that's what I choose. They would eat me. Mm-hmm. Next question is, you are abducted and locked away in an isolated room with no windows and only a two-way mirror and a single song played on a loop over the loudspeaker in the room to torture you into spilling the critical bit of intelligence you have. What song is it and how long before you crack? Well, if they're smart, they would choose the song that's from, was from the Lamb Chops show. I don't even think that's what it was called, maybe, but, this is the song that never ends. Yes, it goes on and on, my friends. I think I know how to sing it in another language. In Hebrew. Yes, that's what it was. Sehashir shelo gomer, ken zeholech veholech gavarim. Yeah, something like that. If they played that on a loop over and over and over again, it would not take me very long before I crack. Honestly? Yeah. Definitely, I could probably last a full day. Maybe that is long, I don't know. But maybe not a full day, honestly. I would hope that I'd have one of those cool, like, cyanide, whatever it's called, like, capsules in my teeth. Something that I could just, like, kill myself instead of spilling the critical bit of intelligence. Yeah. Because I would not do well under torture. Under physical torture, pain, I'm just not good with pain. So yeah, anytime I see a movie where there's a torture scene, it just, oh God, no. Next question. I'm going to have to actually, you're going to kill me. I have to skip this question too, because it says, tell us the story behind your username, using as many embellishments as possible with the true story of how you came up with it twisted into your tale for us to try to discern. Honestly, I can't tell the story behind my username because there's something in my real life that would lead people to figure out who I was if I told the story behind my username. So I can't. Yeah. Sorry, guys. You will never know. Oh, I could tell you the 77 part, which is basically that 7 is my lucky number. And I'm pretty sure that Sassmaster 7 was already taken. I think that was the issue. So I just went with 77. Yeah. Next question. Food can be highly expressive of emotional states. What foods do you make for yourself when you are sad, happy, or nervous? And if you don't cook, what foods do you go out and get or order when you are sad, happy, or nervous? When I'm sad, like, my comfort food is definitely the cliche stuff, like ice cream or chocolate. Yeah. But then on the flip side, when I'm happy, my favorite foods are also the cliche stuff, like ice cream and chocolate. Yeah, I think for celebrating happy occasions, a lot of times we go out for sushi. I don't eat fish, so I don't eat the sushi, but I'll get like avocado cucumber maki and, you know, the yam tempura maki. Things like that. We have some funky ones here that have like mango and other things like that. Anyone who like really likes sushi is gonna be rolling their eyes at this, but yeah. Sorry, man, I like those. Vegetarian sushi is yummy. And I get edamame usually and miso soup as well. So I'm a happy camper. So I guess that I associate sushi with happy times. When I'm nervous, I don't think I eat when I'm nervous. Gosh. If I'm going to be going somewhere where I could potentially be nervous, I try to eat something that is light, but like still kind of filling so that I'm not hungry. Like a protein bar or a protein shake. That's what I'll have before something that could be nerve-wracking. Just to like tide me over, but like not upset my stomach in any way, shape, or form. Just like, yeah, make things good. Yeah. Okay, I think that's it. I make pasta when I'm happy. I think that's another answer to your question. Okay, so next, Hiram says, you paid me a compliment in saying I had impeccable taste in music. Oh, whoa, whoa, okay, hold on. I didn't say you had impeccable taste in music, man. I said you probably had impeccable taste in pop culture, all things pop culture. I know for a fact that you don't have impeccable taste in music. You have good taste in music, but it's not impeccable. But yeah, in pop culture stuff, yeah, you're well-versed in that. Yeah, and asked who people should be listening to but aren't. Who would you name if asked the same question because you are being asked? So for anyone who hasn't seen this yet, I started my own subreddit, and within that subreddit, which is SassMaster77, I created a Song of the Day playlist for February 2016, and I intend on doing this for every month, and basically every day I'm updating it with a new song to listen to. So these are like actual, like they're links to YouTube videos. It's not me singing, absolutely not. It's like the legitimate song. So all of those bands are who I would suggest listening to, because yeah, I've been so excited to send that out, and I couldn't possibly pick just one of those. Okay, maybe I could. You know who everyone should listen to? It's Meg Myers. She is fucking amazing. Honestly, just, yeah, I love all of her songs, and she's super talented. Meg Myers would be, I guess, my one recommendation for sure, for sure, for sure. So your next question is, I'm actually going to skip a few questions, and then if I have time, go back to them. So I'm going to skip ahead to, if you can recall it, I love this question. If you can recall, what were your favorite TGIF and Disney Afternoon lineups? If you can't or didn't have those, where you're from? Of course I did. What were your favorite cartoons or TV shows from your childhood? Oh my God, this question. Ah, it's so good. Okay. Okay. Shows that I loved on TGIF Friday were Step by Step. Oh my God, Step by Step was so good. Boy Meets World, for sure. Growing Pains, Full House, Family Matters was in there at one point. I know that's five shows and there were only like four. But yeah, Step by Step was one that I really loved. And Boy Meets World obviously was like the best. God, Boy Meets World was so good. Yeah, so that's that. And then on Saturday mornings, I'll tell you about the cartoons from my childhood in a second. But I was going to say, I mostly remember watching the, oh God, what did they call it? It was like meant for, I think, teenagers. But it was the lineup that had like Saved by the Bell, California Dreams, probably another Saved by the Bell. That lineup, that one was the one that I loved. Favorite cartoons. I loved one called My Pet Monster that no one seems to remember, but it was so freaking good. Theme song was My Pet Monster. He's my very, very bestest friend. And he was like really like silly, scary looking kind of, but yeah, he was awesome. So My Pet Monster was awesome. I loved Tiny Toons and Animaniacs, obviously. So good. So, so good. I love Darkwing Duck. Is that what it's called? Darkwing Duck. I have to look this up. Darkwing. Yeah, it was. I love Darkwing Duck. I loved the Smoggies. Does anyone remember the Smoggies? Yeah. That was a Canadian show, I think. Shit, no one's going to know what that was. Muppet Babies. Oh my God, Muppet Babies was so good. Muppet Babies. Making your dreams come true. Something like that. I loved cartoons. So many. There's just so many to pick. When I was a little bit older, Sailor Moon, for sure. But by then I was in high school. What other TV shows from my childhood? We had a show in... These two shows that I think might have been Canadian. One was called Today's Special, where a mannequin in a store came to life at night. Today's special, shout it loud and clear. Today's special is zombies. No, it was never zombies. So I don't know if that was Canadian, but there was that. And then there was also a show called Under the Umbrella Tree, which I'm almost positive was like a Quebec-made show, because I think I remember French somehow. But that had a good theme song too. Under the Umbrella Tree. That sounds a lot like Today's special. And God, I love, you know what's so fun to do on YouTube? There are these playlists. It's like, usually it's a video where someone's done a compilation of different theme songs from your childhood. And they'll have like, I don't know, like 25 different theme songs from your childhood all in one video. Oh my God, those are so good. Maybe I'll find them and include them in the Soundgasm link for this. Yeah, let's do that. I would love if we did like a theme song challenge on Backstage or our recordings or Audio Candy, something like that. Cause there's so many good theme songs that used to be out there. Nowadays we don't have freaking theme songs, but yeah, so many good ones. Ah, oh, childhood TV, so good. Which of the major martial arts disciplines would you want to be the highest possibly rank in? What would you do with this skill? I don't even know the different major martial arts disciplines. I know karate. And I know karate. And I know karate. So I'm gonna choose karate because I'm not sure what other ones there are. Oh, so disappointing. Sass is not perfect. I'm sorry. What would I do with this skill? I would like just bust it out as a party trick. Just like, wah, yeah, you know, like just a party trick. No, I mean, if I was the highest possible rank, I would be like competing. So I would be using it competitively and like that would be my career, man. Oh, I would probably for sure be like a stunt person in movies. Because those people are amazing. They're fucking awesome. Yeah, definitely. Next question is, if you were the omnipotent force that got to choose how all life on Earth were wiped out in an extinction level event that wiped out the dinosaurs, how would you choose to take us all out? God, you're so mean, Hiriam. Why do you make me do things like this? God. Jeez. Well, I'd want it to happen like quickly so that no one would have any warning and it would just like, boom, it's over. Like maybe the entire world at the same time just suddenly has some kind of poisonous gas released in the clouds and it just happens all at once. The problem with that is the people who are indoors wouldn't be affected. So no, that wouldn't work. This is not cool because the obvious answers are like an asteroid, or a comet or some kind of like earthquake that causes a tsunami that like takes over the world. Like those are all horrible and there's going to be enough time for people around the world to report that it's happening in one part of the world before it gets to the other. And then there's mass chaos and you probably love that kind of thing, don't you? But I do not. So some kind of like poisonous gas that's released like everywhere, including inside, so that everyone dies all at the exact same time and no one can see it coming and nobody knows it's happening and it's just like, boom, it's over. There, that's my answer. 2016 is proving to be a banner year for movies, is it? What are your most anticipated films of the year? Oh God, I don't have an answer for that yet. It's only the beginning of February and I don't have, I go on these little, like, I have the app Flixster, which is like, it tells you what movie theaters are nearby and you can watch movie trailers and stuff like that. So I'd say like maybe 3 times a year, I go on a little movie trailer binge where I just sit like with my Flixster app and I watch movie trailers for like an hour. And I haven't really done that yet. I did like a mini one. I think it was just last week, but I was only looking at the movies that are coming out in the next month. And I noticed that on February, oh God, what's the date? Is it yesterday? I think it's yesterday. I think it was February 9th. I might be wrong, but I think it was February 9th. But there were three movies that came out that were coming out all on the same day that I was like, oh my God, I want to see all three of those. None of them were like, wow, best movie ever. But so one was definitely Deadpool for sure. I fucking love Ryan Reynolds and just Deadpool in general, the character, like the best, just the personality and everything. Now the movie itself hasn't gotten that good reviews. I know that, but I still think I'll love it because it's Ryan Reynolds and I've never seen anything of his that I didn't like. And it's Deadpool. I mean, it's still going to be really good. It might not be as good as the other movies in the same universe, but it's still going to be awesome. So yeah, so Deadpool for sure. And then there was also How to Be Single, which was the movie with Rebel Wilson and Allison Brie and Dakota Johnson. And that one just, I didn't even know what it was supposed to be. And then I watched the trailer and I was like, oh, this will be awesome because Rebel Wilson is hilarious. And I laughed really friggin' hard at the end of the trailer. If you haven't seen it yet, you should watch the trailer at the end when they're in the sauna and Rebel Wilson does an impression of, I think it's Gandalf. It's amazing. It's really funny. Like, I cracked up. And then Zoolander 2 was also coming out on the same day. I mean, do we need another Zoolander? Probably not. I loved the first one, but again, we don't need a new one, but I think it's the kind of movie that I would never ever pay to see in the theaters, but I'll watch it for sure once it's like, you know, like I'll stream it or I'll watch it once it's not in the theaters. And there was also a new Michael Moore movie coming out the same day, which looked pretty good, Where to Invade Next. So that was all four of those same. I think there was another one. Yes. The one with Katie Holmes and Luke Kirby, where they both, they're both bipolar and they meet in like, psychiatric facility or hospital. And then it's about their like trying to be together, stuff like that. What's that one called? I need to look this up. It's called Touched with Fire. So all of those were coming out on the same day. And I was like, what? This is insane. So yeah, all of those sound good. In terms of for 2016, I'll have to get back to you on that because I don't have an answer quite yet. I don't know what else is coming out this year that will also be good. The next question is, who is your favorite Redditor and why is it me? Yeah, here I am. Come on. I can't answer that. Love me. Next one. Love me or hate me, it's still an obsession. Love me or hate me, that is the question. If you love me, then thank you. And if you hate me, then fuck you. Obviously I don't hate you. I like you. I can't say I love you because A, I'm not your wife. And then B, like, I don't know you well enough to love you. You're really like, your Herium is quite a cynical bastard. And don't worry, he'll like that. I called him that. And so basically, yeah, you either, it's true, love him or hate him. But I think like you can be in there as well. Yeah. You are a cool guy. Okay, we're at 45 minutes. And I have a feeling that one of these questions that I skipped is going to take me a long time. So let's go to that one. And then if there ends up being enough time for another one that I skipped, we'll do it. The question that I think is going to take me a long time is, what's your crazy ex story? I've had a couple of crazy exes. The first one, I'm not actually going to tell the story. I'm just going to tell you in like one or two lines what happened. He stole from my mom. Yeah. Seriously. I was still living at home And because I'm a boomerang kid, meaning like I went away to university, like I went out of town. So I lived out of town for 4 years. And then after university, I moved back home. Boomerang. So he stayed over and I had to go to work and so did my mom. And so I left him in my place alone. We'd already been dating for probably 3 months. So I trusted him. And he actually stole about $80 cash from my mom's like emergency cash fund, which she keeps, well, I'll just tell everyone because everyone knows my mom, in like the kitchen cupboard in a glass. There's always cash there. So later on, my mom called me and she was like, hey, did you borrow some cash from the, you know, the emergency cash thing? And I was like, no, why? And she's like, I know I had $100 in there and there's only $80 left. Sorry, there's only $20 left. I'm missing $80. And I was like, it wasn't me. So we both kind of knew it was him. But when I asked him about it, he denied it. And yeah, so it turned out it was him and he was totally not going to tell me. So that was a little bit of a crazy ex story. Come on, like seriously, if he needed money, he could have, this is what I said to him. I was like, if you needed money, you could have just asked me and I would have lent you the money. You could have borrowed it. You didn't have to steal it from my mother. I guess once you always have sticky fingers, or sorry, once you have sticky fingers, you always have sticky fingers, something like that. I don't know if it's true, but yeah. The long crazy ex story is, so I've mentioned in other questionnaires or audios that my very first serious boyfriend, who I lost my virginity to and did like almost every, you know, had all my like major firsts with, actually, no, that's not true. He wasn't my first kiss or my first blowjob. Anyways, I've mentioned him before and it was one of those like romances where like it was like fast and furious, like fell for each other very quickly, said I love you way too quickly, were like very, very serious. And then I found out he was cheating on me and I broke up with him and he basically begged me to take him back. Like he cried and he was on his knees and, cried for like 4 hours and promised he would, that he would never do anything like that again, et cetera, et cetera. So I took him back and within the next couple months, I ended up having to break up with him again because I found out that he was cheating on me with somebody else. And at that particular time, my sister was home with me. So this was at my house that I broke up with him. And he again tried to cry and beg and plead for me to not break up with him because he loved me, et cetera, et cetera. And I, this time, was not having any of it. I was very, very cold and adamant, like, no, this is happening. I'm sorry. And so then he declared that he was going to kill himself and he walked out my door. And so I yelled to my sister, Blink, can't say the guy's name, because it's a very common name. Blink just said he's going to kill himself and he just left. What do I do? And she was like, you need to follow him. Oh my God, I'm coming with you. So he was walking on foot and we basically just raced out of the house behind him and we could see him down the street and just were yelling at him to come back. I didn't know where he was going or what he was doing. Like there was a chance maybe he was just walking to the bus and was going to go home, but he had just said he was going to kill himself and he was pretty upset. So we followed him down the street and then he turned the corner and we're on now like a more major street. And we're screaming and yelling and telling him to come back and he's ignoring us. And he walked out to the middle of the street and lied down on his stomach in the middle of the street with his head down. And there was a car coming. And we were screaming for him to get out of the road and sure that he was going, like, I just honestly, I couldn't believe this was fucking happening. I was sure he would get up and move. But he wasn't moving and the car was getting closer. So I basically ran out into the middle of the street and flagged my arms like a mad woman. This was at night as well, let me add. flagged my arms like a madwoman so that the car would see that someone that I was there and move to the next lane, which is what they did. Thank God. But I don't know what would have happened if we weren't there. I don't know. I like to think he wouldn't have gone through with it, but still it was insane. So my sister then ran out into the road and helped me, basically we had to drag him off the street and back to my house. And I couldn't break up with him at that point because he was obviously suicidal or pretending to be suicidal or whatever. But I had to tell him that I didn't mean what I said before and that I wanted to be together. And I was lying through my teeth, of course, because I still knew that he was cheating on me and meant every word I'd said earlier, but didn't want him to hurt himself. So I said what I had to so that he would stop crying and be okay. And I waited, I think, another month before I broke up with him again. And in that month, I found out that he was cheating on me with two other fucking girls. So this third time when I broke up with him, I did it via note, via letter. I left him a box of his shit, everything that I had of his, on his front step with a letter, just telling him that he obviously needed to get help. Psychiatric help, because he either had a sex addiction or he had some kind of, he had definitely mommy issues. He had, feeling like you aren't loved and that no one cares about you, and a need for attention, a very strong, desperate need for attention at all times, and basically pleading with him to get some kind of psychiatric help because I knew that deep down he was a good person, but these types of behaviors, if he claimed he loved me and he would do that to me over and over and over again, that's not healthy. He only tried to call me once after that, after he got the letter. I told him to never contact me again, but yeah, he tried to call me once and obviously I didn't talk to him, and then he never attempted again. So that's the story of my first love. And honestly, if my sister hadn't been there with me for this whole running out into the middle of the street suicide attempt thing, I swear I would have, looking back, I would have thought that I maybe made that part up. But I've checked with her. I've honestly, over the years, I've randomly said to her, that happened, right? You were with me and that's exactly what happened, right? And she's like, yeah, no, that's exactly what happened. I honestly still can't believe it. So yeah, sure know how to pick them, don't I? yeah, that's my crazy ex story. So since we are almost at an hour, I am going to wrap it up and just say thank you to everyone who's listened, and I hope that you enjoyed my AMA, and whether you listened to parts of it or the whole thing, just thank you so much. And if you have comments or questions or anything else, please feel free to comment or PM and stuff like that. I would love for this part to be interactive, but I know that there's so much being said in this AMA. This is almost 3 hours of AMA that I don't anticipate there being much in comments, but feel free to say something back and offer your own stories and stuff like that. Okay. Thanks everyone for listening. Bye.